لم يأن للذين آمنوا أن تخشع قلوبهم لذكر الله.
And this individual was truly a unique individual because of the tremendous dedication he had for his religion. And what he ended up accomplishing by dedicating his life to serving the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Mus'ab ibn Umair, when he was in the beginning of Islam, this was an individual that was known to be the most charming of Meccans. He was, as we say, he was spoiled to the core. His mom and his father had pampered him so much that he lived a beautiful life of luxury. He was the talk of the town. Everyone wanted to be his friend. All the ladies wanted to get to know him. But this individual, he was not a follower, but he had curiosity. He was wise. And that's why he had that respect amongst his peers. And when the Prophet ﷺ first received the message of Islam, the Quran was sent to him, and the Prophet ﷺ was preaching secretly. And this news actually spread out and it became the talk of the town. It was the thing that everyone wanted to talk about. The who is this person? What is this new message that he's trying to change our religion? The thing that we've been practicing for hundreds of years. And he wants to make all of the gods one God. He's telling us to worship only one God. And Mus'ab was curious. He's like, you know, what is this thing about? How can I learn about it? Why is everyone getting so worked up over it? So one day he happened to go to Dar al-Arqam, and this was the house where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would gather and teach his companions about the Quran. And Mus'ab went there and he sat with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited some of the verses that were revealed to him, and this immediately made his heart shake. It was so powerful and impactful upon him. And this is the impact the Quran has for the person who goes to the Quran with an open heart, with a heart that wants to learn, that wants to be guided. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam calmed him down. And now Mus'ab ibn Umair, he declared his faith and he entered into the fold of Islam, and he was ready to show his faith to everyone. Nobody in Mecca could stand to him except that he would stand with honor and defend his Islam. But the only person that he could not stand up to was his mother, because his mother had a very strong personality that made people fear her. So he decided that he was going to keep his Islam a secret, because during the beginning of Islam, many of the prominent Sahaba, the companions that had tribes that were backing them, were still tortured. So he decided to keep his Islam a secret. And then one day somebody happened to see him go into the house of Arqam, and they reported this to his mother. So when Mus'ab came back, his mother was there and his relatives were there, and some of the notable people from Mecca were standing there ready to confront him. And Mus'ab didn't shy away, but he declared that, yes, I have become Muslim. And he recited some of the verses that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught him. And this is when his mother got furious and she struck him. But being a mother, mercy also held her back. So she didn't continue. And she told him that if you continue down this path, I'm going to cut you off. And she actually took him and locked him up in a room. And she told him that you will not get what you used to get unless you renounce your faith. But look at his faith and his determination. It wasn't just a decision he made on a whim, but he fully committed to this decision. And then when the companions were given permission to migrate to Ethiopia, Mus'ab ibn Umair, he managed to sneak away and go. And then he came back later on, and then he stood in front of his mother once again. And his mother told him, wanted to prevent him once again. And this time with full determination, he said that anyone you put in my path will not be able to restrict me, will not be able to hold me down. And his mother understood his determination and she left him. But look at the compassion that he had for his mother. And he told her, oh, my mother, you know, this is the religion of truth. This is what you need to follow, so please believe in it. But she refused to accept the message of Islam. And then later on, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had appointed Mus'ab with the greatest task that he would ever undertake, which was to be the first ambassador of Islam. after the first pledge of Aqaba, when only about 12 people came and gave the oath of allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they wanted somebody to go back and teach the people of Medina the religion. And Medina was known as Yathrib at that time. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose Mus'ab ibn Umayr. And he could have chosen some of the other Sahaba, some of the elder Sahaba. Perhaps they were more knowledgeable than Mus'ab, but he chose Mus'ab, knowing what qualities Mus'ab possessed. So Mus'ab went to Medina and he started teaching the people about Islam, started calling them towards the worship of one God only. And he was with a man by the name of As'ad ibn Zurara. And they went to the tribe of Bani Abd al-Ashhal, and they were giving them da'wah, they were inviting them to Islam. And then suddenly one of the leaders of this tribe by the name of Usayd ibn Hudayr, he suddenly happened to come to them. And he was furious and he was cursing them, he was insulting them. That you're bringing this message and you're teaching the foolish people. Because anyone who has an intellect will not listen to what you're talking about. And many of us, when we give da'wah or we're in this phase and a non-Muslim might be rude towards us, you know, sometimes we get worked up and we want to retaliate and some say something equally as bad back to them. But Mus'ab, he had this tremendous calm and he told him that, why don't you sit down? You know, and listen to what I have to say. If you like it, that's good. And if you don't, we'll leave you alone and no harm will be done to you. And Usayd said, this is something that's reasonable. There's no harm in it. What am I going to lose by listening to what you have to say? So he recited the verses of the Quran and it shook Usayd. And he said that this is something that is beautiful. And anyone who looks at the teachings of the Quran with an open mind, not with a biased mind, a biased outlook from the beginning, but with a clean and pure heart, with an open mind, we'll see the beauty of Islam. We'll see the beauty of the teachings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down. And he asked that, how can I enter into this religion? And Mus'ab directed him to go and wash up and clean himself and then say the shahada and to pray 2 rak'ah. And then Usayd told him that there is a man behind me, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. He's the leader of the people. If he accepts Islam, then everyone's going to follow his lead. Because he is the leader, the person who has influence over his people. So Usayd went back to Sa'd, and Sa'd told the people that this is a person who seems like he has changed his ways. And then Usayd told him that I went to them and I talked to them and I didn't see any issue with them, but you should go and speak to them as well. And they will listen to you and leave the people alone. So Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, he goes to Mus'ab ibn Umayr, and he also insults him and tells him, you're coming and taking advantage of these people. You know, they have weak intellect, they don't understand, and you're taking advantage of this. You're brainwashing them. So Mus'ab told him the same thing, that why don't you sit down, listen to what I have to say. If you like it, good. And if you don't, then we'll leave you alone. And Sa'd said, this is reasonable. And he sat down with them and he recited the ayat to Sa'd, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the heart of Sa'd, and he also accepted the message of Islam. And then he went back to the people and he told them that, who am I to you? They said that you are a leader, the most intelligent of us. And then he said, it is haram upon me to talk to any one of you until you accept the message of Islam, until you believe in Allah and his messenger. And then all of these people, the entire tribe, they accepted Islam except one of them. And the next year, when Mus'ab took the delegation back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was about 73 men and 2 women. And there was no household in Medina except that one of them was at least Muslim. This was the impact that he had. He laid the groundwork, and it was time, it was ready. The time was now for the Muslims to start migrating to Medina. And Mus'ab ibn Umayr, he participated in the Battle of Badr. He was the standard bearer. And at that time, there was no radios, there was no walkie-talkies. The only way you knew if you were still in the fight is if your standard, if your flag is still standing. So this was a very important task that he was assigned. And then after the battle, his brother, actually, his blood brother was taken captive. And Mus'ab passed by him and he told him that, you know, tie his chains tightly, because his mother will pay a heavy sum for his ransom. And his brother got upset and he said, you're going to do this to your own blood brother? And Mus'ab said that this Ansari, this person of Medina, is my true brother, because he is my brother based on faith. And he also participated in the Battle of Uhud, where once again he was given the responsibility of holding on to the standard. And when the Muslims, initially they were winning this battle, and when they disobeyed the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Khalid ibn Walid, he took advantage of this and turned the tables around, and there were very few people standing with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Mus'ab ibn Umair, he stepped forth and he called the people to come towards him, because they loved and they valued the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than their own lives. And a man by the name of Ibn Qamiyah or Qamiyah, he came and he struck one of the hands of Mus'ab ibn Umair, cutting it off. But yet Mus'ab, he grabbed the sandal with his other hand, because he knew that if this flag falls, it's going to destroy the morale of the people. And he recited the verse, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is except a messenger. That's what he is, a messenger. Messengers have come and passed away before him. And then his other arm was cut off too. And then you can only imagine that he somehow managed to still hold his standard up, and he recited the same verse until finally he was struck down. And then after the battle, they went and they saw his body, and he only left one cloth behind. And this was an individual that he was, the perfume that he used to wear, and he used to pass by an area, people who came after him would know that Mus'ab was here just because of the smell that was left behind. He would wear the most luxurious of clothes. And he was seen later on wearing clothes that had stitches on them, patches on them. And this made the companions cry. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Mus'ab was the most pampered individual from the Meccans. But he gave all of that up for the sake of Allah and his messenger. And when he passed away, radiallahu anhu, he only had one sheet left that did not even cover his entire body. That when they covered his head, his feet were showing. And when they covered his feet, his head was showing. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to cover his head and his body, and to cover his feet with lemongrass. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah, مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَهَدُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, that from the believers, there are people who were truthful with the covenant that they made with Allah. They were truthful to the promise that they made with Allah. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ, that there are individuals who have fulfilled their contract. Until they left this world, they were truthful and they stood upon that. And there are people who are still fulfilling that contract. They're waiting to meet their end while being in the state of fulfilling this contract. And they never wavered. They never, nothing shook them. Nothing made them change their faith. And this is an individual who died as a martyr, as a shaheed. And his place is in the highest level of Firdaus. And if we look at his story, there's so many benefits that we can derive. But I'd like to point out three things. The first is the power of choice. And we as human beings, every single day, we are making choices. We make choices in regards to what we're going to do, what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to watch, what we're going to spend our time doing, who we're going to hang out with. These are all choices that we make. No one is forcing us to do these things, but we have control over these things, and we make these choices. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, كُلُّ النَّاسِ يَغْدُو, that everyone goes out in the morning. فَبَائِعُ النَّفْسِ, and there are individuals who sell themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They make the right decisions. They make the choices that are pleasing to Allah. And he says, فَمُعْتِكُهَا وَمُوبِقُهَا, there are those individuals who free themselves, and there are those individuals who destroy themselves, because they choose the wrong thing. They choose the things that are displeasing to Allah. They choose the things that are going to have consequences in the end, because every choice has a consequence. And we have to ask ourselves when we get up in the morning, that what choices am I going to make today? What things am I going to focus on? What meaning am I going to give to my life? And if we look at Mus'ab ibn Umair, this individual had what I consider the three things that every young person, not only that, but every person wants, which is money, popularity, and the attention of the opposite sex. He had all of this. He had all the money he could imagine. Everyone wanted to be like Mus'ab. Everyone wanted to be his friend. All the women wanted to marry him. But Mus'ab ibn Umair, he chose the truth over this. And all of these things are actually vehicles. Because in our pursuit for wealth, for fame, it's not we're chasing that thing, but we're actually chasing the feeling behind it, the need that it fulfills when we chase these things. Because from wealth, we get the sense of security. You know, we get certainty in our lives. We get variety. We can utilize this wealth and do other things that are enjoyable. With popularity, you know, we fulfill our need to be important. Some people have this need that I need to be really important. And they choose vehicles to fulfill these needs. And it creates connection with other individuals. We all have this need to belong, to connect with other people, to be validated. But the thing is, what vehicles do we choose in order to fulfill these needs? And this is the area that people struggle. That what needs are they putting, they're giving priority to? And at the same time, we have this need. Our soul has this need to know Allah, to connect with Allah, to love Allah, to worship Allah. And we see in Mus'ab's story that he was constantly tested. You know, he had the choice between wealth and Allah, and he chose Allah. He was tested again between the relationship with his mother, his family, and Allah. And he chose Allah. And most of us, most people, they don't realize that they're making these choices. They're not aware of what needs they're pursuing. They're not aware of what vehicles they're utilizing to meet these needs. And Allah might be important in people's lives, but maybe it's not the most important thing. And the thing is, when a person puts Allah first, when Allah becomes the number one priority, automatically all these needs are met. Because a person is consistently growing. Allah puts the right people in their lives. He builds the right relationships for them. They become loved by the people. And they get that certainty because they know that Allah is with them. You know, when you have this ma'iyah of Allah, when Allah is with someone and he's aiding them and he's helping them and he's giving them the confidence and the patience to be able to endure and pursue and be better. If Allah gives that to a person, is Allah is with that person, who can touch this person? Nobody can do anything to this person. And we might see the outward things, the outward, the external circumstances, that he lost his parents, you know, they stopped talking to him, he was wearing shabby clothes, but we don't know the internal aspect. You know, how content he was, how pleased was he with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that these things were a non-factor. You know, he knew the purpose of his life. And when we make a similar decision, we put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first, then we get that love of Allah and we get that ma'iyah of Allah, that Allah is with these persons. And we have to ask ourselves, who are these individuals that have this special privilege? And Allah tells us this in the Quran. You know, he tells us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. You know, he is with those individuals who observe taqwa and do good. And when we read the Quran, we have to ask ourselves, that is Allah talking about me when he talks about these people? Do I have these qualities that Allah loves? And if I do, alhamdulillah. But if I don't, then how can I have these qualities? How can I become like these individuals? What can I start doing? What can I change in my life that will make me amongst these people? Because if we have Allah, we have everything. Nothing can stop us. But if we don't have Allah and we have everything else, then the question is, what do we really have? Because everything is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is nothing wrong with a person pursuing wealth. Because wealth is just a vehicle. but what's the reason behind that pursuit? And are you willing to give everything up just to meet that need? Because the problem comes when a person puts money and fame and all these other things before Allah. That's when the problem comes. But if a person's intention is to utilize these things for the betterment of the ummah, to help those who are less fortunate, to take their community to another level, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then these are praiseworthy things. And another lesson we learn from this is the importance of references in our lives. You know, because success, it leaves behind clues. If you want to become a physician, not just a physician, but a physician who started his own practice and succeeded in it, then you look for those individuals who have done it and you find out what did they do so that we can replicate it. If we want to be entrepreneurs, we find these individuals and we see what was their secret, what made them successful, and we try to replicate it. And at the same time, if we want to be those individuals who stand firm, you know, the examples of those people who have true faith, true determination, we look at the life of the companions. And Mus'ab ibn Umair's story, it's such a strong reference for everyone, especially the youth, because it shows the power of that choice that he made, that determination that he had. Because when it comes to change, most people sometimes they're not even thinking about it. They don't even think that, okay, maybe, you know, I need to change my life. I need to become a better individual. Maybe the decisions I'm making is not really serving me. But it's not even on their radar that they need to change. Some people, they're thinking about it, but they're not really committed to it. And this is for anything. You know, it can even be for starting a business, for losing weight, for example. That some people are not even thinking about it. Some people are, they're thinking about it, but they're not really serious about it. Some people might talk about it, but there's still no determination behind it. The power comes when a person is fully determined and commits to it. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. When you've reached that state of determination and you have the emotions behind it and your body is ready to take action, that's when you put your trust in Allah, because Allah loves those individuals who depend on Him. And trusting Allah means to take all the means that a person can, and to get clarity in what they want. And they turn their affair over to Allah, and they take every single mean that they know of in order to get to that, and knowing that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who will make it happen for them. And for those individuals who accept Islam and become and revert to Islam, you know, they are the ones who face the potential of their family cutting ties off with them. For those of us who are born into Islam, we might not face this threat, but those individuals might. And this is a tremendous reference at how to stand steadfast. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put in your life those individuals that you need, that will be your brothers and your sisters. And finally, from his story, we learned the lesson of, how can I serve this deen? How can I serve my community? How can I serve the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made him the first ambassador, and he went and he excelled at this task. And we all have different skill sets. Not every single one of us needs to be the sheikh, needs to be the speaker, needs to be the one in the limelight. But everyone has a skill set that they can contribute towards. We need people to be professionals. We need people to be business owners. We need people to be students of knowledge. And all of these people need to come together and see that, what skill set do I have, or what skill set is needed to be developed in order to take the da'wah, in order to take the Muslim communities in the Western part of the world to the next level. You know, some people are good in organizational things, in management, when it comes to media relations. And we need all of these people to come together. We need the people of knowledge. We need the people of influence. We need the people who have the wealth. We need the people who understand organization and management, and all these people to come together in order to put forth something beautiful. Because many times, it might not be the person who is speaking that walks away with the most reward. If you've ever been to an event and there's thousands of people there, you know, and the people, they come and they listen to the talks and they get inspired, And yes, the people who are talking, they are getting the reward as well. But the people behind the scenes, the people who organize this event, because this is a skill. Not everyone has the capacity and the ability to do something like this. And only Allah knows at how much reward these people walked away with, because they were determined. They wanted good for the people. So they organized an event of this caliber. So to end, we ask ourselves certain questions. Because when we ask ourselves deep questions, this is what brings forth insight. And we have to answer them if we want to get if we want change to happen, we have to answer these questions. And we look at things that, how can I contribute? You know, what can I do for my ummah? What can I do for my community? What skill set can I develop that is needed that will help not only myself individually in my dunya, but that will also help my community? You know, how can I change my decisions? How can I make better choices? What things can I focus on? And not only that, what meaning can I give to things? Because it is very important that we give positive meanings to things. Because if we focus only on the negative things that happen around us, that's what we're going to see. But if we focus on the positive things, and even during the hard times, we focus on what's positive here, then that will lead us to take positive action. That will lead us to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this makes us understand the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said that how strange is the affair of the believer. Everything is good for him. No matter what happens to him, it's good. When he is given, when he or she is given, they are grateful and that is good for them. And when something bad happens to them or something that they dislike happens to them, they are patient and that's also good for them. Because they give this incident a certain meaning. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for me. He wants me to grow. He wants me to become better. He wants me to unlock my full potential. And they give positive meanings to the things. And we also ask ourselves, how can I take more action? The right kind of action that will move me towards my goals. And part of ihsan is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if we see him. And if we can't see him, we can't get to that level, we should at least know that Allah is watching us. But there's a second component to ihsan, which is excellence towards others. Contributing beyond yourself. And if you look at Surah Al-Asr, towards the end, Allah swears by time, the importance of time, how important it is for utilize our time in the things that will benefit us. And he says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ, that every single individual, all of insan, is in loss. And then he makes the exception, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, that those individuals who believe, and this belief necessitates action, and they do the righteous actions for the sake of Allah and in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But these two things, they benefit the individual. But there's another level, there's a higher level. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, and they encourage one another with the truth. They want other people to benefit. And they encourage one another to be patient, to remain steadfast upon the path of Allah. There's going to be obstacles, but they come together and they become the source of strength for each other. They help one another. They don't tear each other down, but they uplift one another. You know, what went wrong this time? Okay, let's revise and see how shaitan got the better of us, how we can become better. What things do we need to put in place in order to take our relationship with Allah to the next level? Because if even one person is guided through us, is impacted by us, changes their way because of what we did for them, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Ali radiallahu anhu that is better for you than the red camel, the most precious camel of that time. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those individuals who remain firm and steadfast upon the path of Allah, and who make the decisions that get them closer to Allah, and who make the decisions that will make Allah be with them and will give them the strength, and may Allah make us amongst those individuals who are a benefit to society. So that when we come on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and we're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have all these deeds that we never really did. But because we helped, we participated, we influenced others, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His infinite mercy, He will give us these extra deeds. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim.